So, Heavenly Father, we thank you that your eye is upon us. We thank you that you care about us. Lord, that you see us in our best of times and the worst of times. And so we pray with the psalmist, search me, O God, and know my heart. And see if there is any wicked way within me. So today, Lord, we're thankful that we've had the opportunity to praise your name and honor the Lord Jesus in our worship, in our singing, and in our praise. So, Lord, we thank you for your care in our lives. So, Lord, we know that today you are looking into our hearts and you judge the thoughts and motivations of our heart. So we ask that as we come now to hear your word, to read your word, and that the Holy Spirit of God might be our teacher and that we might truly understand what it is you have to say to us today with all the neediness of our lives. We celebrate and praise your name for all the great things you do for us. And today, Lord, we pray that as we come together in this place and we think about our house, our families, I pray that we may be able to say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And today, Lord, that we will learn what you have to say to us about the importance of parents and grandparents blessing their children and grandchildren. So open our hearts and minds to your word. Help us to truly understand what it is you have to say to us today. And we do truly thank you for your care. And we thank you for watching over us. We ask that you might forgive us of our sins so that we might be ready and prepared to hear your word and to respond to what we hear and be doers of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good morning. If you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 27. I'd like for you to find your place there. And I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest, we in these summertime days, we are honored to have you here. We're delighted that you're here. Welcome. Please come by and say hello. I'd love to meet you back in the back with my wife, Pat, back in Guest Central. You can find us out there in the hall. Otherwise, let us know you're here. We'd love to minister and care for you in any way we can. So all through the summer months, we've been looking at this motto that Joshua gave us. We talked about it many weeks ago. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said these words, not as a young man, but as a man at the end of his life. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'm surrounded here, and I happen to be one of those who represents a household, a man responsible for leading my family and speaking with my children and grandchildren. And I'm surrounded by those who are in the same shape. Men and women, moms and dads, who are responsible for what happens at the house. So this morning we come to a very important subject, and I've asked the Lord to help me with my words. We have such a short time. So I want to be careful with what I say, but I want you to understand the spirit in which I say what I'm saying today. Speak these words to you as your pastor. I love you in Jesus. I'm not making any judgment of anybody or any family. But I do believe what we talk about today may have the most profound and powerful impact upon your children and grandchildren beyond anything else you can do for them. And we do a lot for them. We come to Genesis chapter 27, which is a chapter filled with family problems. We've got two sons who are rivals with their father, and he's in old age, he's about to die, and this chapter is filled with lies, hatred, and blessing. What happens at the house influences how people live in school, when they go to work, and even when they go to church. What we learn at home, as we talked about last week about respecting our parents, I said to you last week, if you weren't here, here's the short version. Children of all ages, honor your father and mother That word means respect. That does not mean neglect, because you're busy. Why has the world become such a disrespectful place? Because at the house we've forgotten how to teach our children and grandchildren the simple lessons of respect. So today we come to talk about words. Look, I want to tell you something, parents, grandparents. I take it as a personal challenge along with you. And I want you to hear me. There's nothing more powerful than your words to your children in every season of life, whether they're starting out and they're just young enough that they can hear you and understand your words, whether they're students trying to make their own way and be independent, whether they're in middle age or young adult, middle age, or they've gotten older. If your children are alive today, your words still matter to them, not just what you said when they were at the house, but what you say to them now as grown children. So today we read these words, and I read them because I want to remind you of the power of family blessing and the sadness of so many in our world who have never heard the words of family blessing. Now, if you'll stand with me and honor the reading of God's Word, Genesis chapter 27. We're now picking up the story where Father Isaac has been tricked. He's been tricked and he's given the blessing to the younger son, Jacob. We're not here to talk about all of those reasons and the purposes of God in that. We're here to learn about the importance of family blessing. And we read now the response of this strong man, this grown man. These are grown men, by the way. These are not little children. The response of this powerful, strong hunter, a man who was a hunter, Esau. Now, it came about as soon as Isaac, the father, had finished blessing Jacob. This was the younger son. And Jacob had hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. Then he also made savory food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." Isaac, his father, said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was he then that hunted game and brought it to me, so that I ate of it all before you came and blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed." This is the verse I want you to read. I want you to mark it. I want you to pay attention to these words in Scripture. When Esau, this grown man, this powerful, strong hunter, outdoorsman, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. And he said to his father, "Bless me, even me, O my father." In chapter 27, verse 38, Esau said to his father a second time, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Verse 41, Esau bore a grudge against his brother Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Heavenly Father, may your word open our minds to the importance of our responsibility as parents and grandparents to giving the family blessing to ours that you have given to us as gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. May my words honor Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So these powerful words of blessing that we learn in the Old Testament, the Jewish custom was for the eldest son to be blessed. That demonstrated security and a future for the family name. It demonstrated and was used over and over in the Old Testament as a form of prophecy about the coming of the Lord Jesus, and those are important things. But the blessing is just as, the family blessing is just as important today for all of us here who are parents and grandparents. You who are students, one day you will be parents. Grandparents, you need to hear these things so that you understand them. Someday today we'll hear these words and say, I never experienced a family blessing. But if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, my friend, you have experienced the greatest of family blessings. When we read these words, and I take you back now to the words in verse number 34 of chapter 27, and this is the first thing I want to talk about for a moment. Number one, the need for the family blessing for all children. Lola, will you put up that slide? The need for the family blessing for all children. Let's go back and read it again. Esau heard the words of his father that he had missed the blessing, and he cried out with exceedingly great and bitter cry, bless me, even me. In chapter 27, verse 4, Isaac had told Esau, go out and hunt for me and bring me back something to eat that I may bless you before I die. There's a lesson here for all of us who are parents that you never stop blessing your children throughout their life, regardless of their behavior, regardless of their ups and downs. Your obligation to your children is to speak a blessing to them. Verse number 22, Jacob came close to his father, this is the younger son, and he felt him. That is, Isaac felt of Jacob, and he said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Verse 24, his father says, are you really my son Esau? And what did Jacob do? He has a history of this. He lied. He said, I am. Then verse 26, his father said, please come close and kiss me, my son. And he blessed. Isaac blessed Jacob with the blessing of the firstborn, though he were not the firstborn. And in verse number 29, the summation of this blessing is this, cursed be those who curse you and blessed be those who bless you. I want you to know today that there are many people who live with the pain in adulthood. As students, as boys and girls, they live with something that God has placed inside of every one of us, the desire and the need for somebody to love us and to accept us and to talk to us about a positive hope for the future. And it's put in every one of us. The pain of living without a family blessing is seen all around us in the behavior of people who act out in all kinds of ways. It's seen in the lives of those who are on a never-ending search for intimacy, and their life is strewn with broken relationship after broken relationship, broken marriage after broken marriage, because in their life they have never experienced the power and strength of the family blessing. Oh, this is very important for your children and grandchildren. In addition to everything else that you consider that you must do for them, there is in the lives of many who have not experienced a family blessing, under the surface you meet them and you find in them this under the surface anger and cynicism and bitterness that just oozes and seethes and all their words, all their actions. There is in the life of those many times who have not experienced the family blessing a commitment to not be committed to anybody, to live in detachment and to say, I don't trust anybody, nor will I ever. There is in the life of many who have not experienced the family blessing a drivenness to perform and to be the best in order to prove to a mom and dad who probably have gone on and are dead what they couldn't show them when they were younger. One of the most successful men I have ever known, and I've been privileged to live a lot of places and meet a lot of wonderful people, including here. A man in his 60s, very, very successful, living in another place, one time told me, "Preacher, I wish my dad was alive so he could see that I really did." Are you listening? "I really did amount to something." Oh, the words, they start back when they're young. The words start at home. Sometimes out of anger, sometimes out of frustration, we say things that are not helpful to our children. And we think that we just said it was an accident, but they carry it with them all the way into student life as they try to become more independent of us. They don't hear any words anymore about who they are and how they matter and how they're accepted and loved and that they have a future and that we believe in them. They get into their young adulthood. They start their families. How desperately they need to hear from those who are their parents that they can do this. They can make it. They move into middle age. Oh, this is so very important. The need is so great. And Esau cried out with exceedingly great bitterness and said, "Bless me." And this is the description of many, many people who live all around us today. The second thing I want you to see is the power of the family blessing. You see, family blessings start at home. You don't know how to give a blessing to somebody unless you've been blessed. The importance of our words to other people. We learn not only respect at home, but we learn how to speak kindly to other people. Are you listening to me? At the house. When it's all ugly talk at the house, you're not helping your children and your grandchildren. And I've said this to you many times. Little ears get to be big ears. They still hear. They still see. The power of the family blessing. Esau said, Do you have any other blessing? Do you have only one blessing, my father? Do you have only one blessing? Bless me. Even me. Bless me, even me. I want you to turn now in your Bible to Genesis chapter 48 for the other end of this story. Now Jacob, who stole the family blessing, is an old man, and we find Jacob now called Israel because there's been a change in his heart. He's wrestled with God and God's changed him. He's reconciled to his brother Esau, but now they're a long way from where they were in the land of promise, and now they're in Egypt. And we read in Genesis 48:8, when Israel, that is Jacob, this one who stole the blessing, we just read, when Israel saw Joseph's sons, are you listening? This is when he was a grandfather. When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, "Who are these?" Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons whom God has given me here." So he said, "Bring them to me, please." Notice, what does the granddad want to do? Give them a quarter? No. Take them to Disneyland? No. Take them to a ball game? No. Bring them to me so that I may bless them. He's a dying man. And I say to all of you who are parents and grandparents, you have only so many days on this earth, and your words to your children and grandchildren matter more than anything else you do for them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim from old age. That's the same as what happened to his dad. When he tricked his dad, who couldn't see. So they brought them to him. And then Joseph brought them close and he kissed them. Notice this, and he embraced them. It's a part of the blessing. Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face, and behold, God has let me see your children as well. Now look at this. Then Joseph took them from his knees and bowed his face to the ground. Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left, Manasseh with his left. But Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, the younger, who was the younger, and he raised his left hand on Manasseh's head, crossing his hands. And his son, of course, tries to straighten his hands out. Isn't that interesting how our kids try to straighten us out, grandparents? No, no, Dad, you got it wrong. But he had it right. And then we read this famous blessing that is given. This blessing is still spoken by Orthodox Jews over their children in a very routine, regular practice of blessing their children all the days of their life. We could learn something from our Jewish friends. He blessed them that day, verse 20, and he said, by you, Israel, will pronounce blessing. And here's the blessing. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. And for another day, I would talk about what that means. It is the blessing that God has given to Israel. Oh, there's power in family blessings. The book of Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21, by faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. The family blessing is spoken, as I've said before, church, where you express to a child, as a grandparent or a parent, you're accepting them in love unconditionally. You love your kids regardless of what they do. The family blessing is expressing to them that you have accepted them as they are. You're not trying to make them like their brother or sister. By the way, have you noticed that your kids are not the same? Have you noticed that? If you have more than one? I know that's I'm not the sharpest pencil in the drawer, but I've noticed that. Rebecca had her favorite. But all of our kids matter the same. The family blessing is spoken in love and acceptance, and the family blessing is saying something to a child about this. Hey, you have a future. You're going to do some great things rather than you don't amount to a hill of beans. Well, I thought for today as we finish, the best way for me to describe the family blessing and give you some tools on how to do it is to take you to a resource that's been a blessing in my life for many years. So Lola, if you'll go to number 3, here are the elements of the family blessing. These 5 elements come from a wonderful book, and I would recommend it to you. You'd be blessed to read it, no pun. It's called The Blessing. It's written by Gary Smalley and John Trent, 2 fine men who've spent most of their life in Christian counseling and encouraging people in their lives. There are 5 elements of the blessing. We've read about them today, whether it was Jacob as granddad Jacob, or whether it was Isaac with Esau and with Jacob in that blessing as a father. First one is meaningful touch. When you extend the family blessing, when you give the family blessing, now remember what I've said, this family blessing you give is not just one time. You give this family blessing over and over through all the seasons of a child's life. I'm down here. When they're young, when they're children, you give them a blessing. You speak to them. You speak to them. Notice in all of these examples, there's kissing, there's touching. See, one of the things you could do right now, in fact, let's just look around. Yeah, We've got some of it going on. If your kids or grandkids are in here, just go reach over to them right now and just start kissing them right now in church. Go ahead, do it. I want you to do it. Kiss them right now. Get stuff slobber all over them. And the grown ones, do it to the grown ones right now. That's what I want to see. Hug them, kiss them, be gooey with them. As much as they hate it, they need it. Are you listening to the preacher? They need it. They need it. Oh, Mom, don't do that to me. Do it more. Put your lipstick on and even do it to them. Not you men, just you women. Meaningful touch for a child. That's what happens at the house. Loving care, hugs, kisses, embrace, arm on their shoulder, pat on the back. Meaningful touch. A spoken message for the child. I know of one parent, his boy is grown, gone to another place to live, and he decided, and he could do it on a text, he could do it on the phone, he could do it in a lot of different ways. They can't always be together, but he takes the time and he still writes him, he writes him about once a year a little card that says the blessing that he started talking to him about years before. If you're a young mom or dad here, you need to be praying, what is it God wants me to say to these children that I've been given? You see, it's not for the preacher to say it. It's not for the teacher at school to say it. It's for the parent to say it. That's what changes a child. And all the rest of us just help. A spoken message for that child. Oh, by the way, if you got more than one, it's not the same message for every one. This one's different from the other. That's the third thing. Attach high value to every child. They have different gifts. They have different personality. They have different skills. They're emerging as their own person. Speak to them. Hug them. Be gooey, lovey. All that. Do all that. Never stop doing it. Even if they push you away, attack them. Go after them. Find them. Touch them. Love them. Speak to them because they matter to God. They are a gift from God. Can anybody say amen to that? That's what the house ought to be like. Lovey, gooey. Oh, Pastor Mike, we don't say love in our house. Well, okay, fine. You need to get over that, friend. Somebody needs to hear you say that and mean it. And picturing a special future for your child, I see that you could do this. Well, Pastor Mike, that may not take my advice. That's not the point. You're not doing training. You're giving affirmation. This could be you. You could do that. You could put your heart to that and be the best at that. And the last thing is an active commitment of parents to support the blessing that you give to your children. Esau heard the words of his father. He cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, "Bless me, even me, O my father." When you've taken your kids everywhere, when you've played ball with them, when you've spent time all over the place, when you've brought them to church, when you've tried to do everything else, and then you wonder why something's not right, go back and ask yourself, have I ever said to my children, may God bless you, and here's the way I believe He will. When you do that, you fulfill the commitment. As for me and my house, we will bless our children and our grandchildren. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the lesson we've learned today. From the family of Isaac, and Lord, we thank You that these stories are as real for us today as they were for Israel and the children of Israel and the Jewish people in the days that have gone by. One of the patriarchs didn't understand the power of blessing. So Lord, there are lots of families represented in here today, some who have just come to Christ and are just starting out and bringing their family along and following Jesus. May they learn the example today of blessing their children at all ages of life. There are some students that need a blessing from their parents right now. There are some young adults who need the blessing from their parents right now. There are some little boys and girls that need the blessing of their parents, not cursing, not demeaning, derogatory, hateful, hate-filled words. We pray, Lord, that you'd give us Christian homes, but we ask, Lord, that you'd first help us to be a Christian at home. May we learn to love our children enough that we would bless them. So while you're thinking this morning about that, because that's the application not only for me but for all of us here today, how we're going to do with our children, you need to make sure you say today in this invitation time, Lord, I will do this. I have heard your word. I've heard about blessing. This is what I'm going to do different. And you talk to the Lord about it. This is the time to make that decision and commitment. But for some of the rest of you who are here today, you may need to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We didn't talk about that today, but whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, and we want to help you. If you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you've never experienced the forgiveness of sin, let us help you. But this is what you must do. You must stand up, step forward, and say to a group of people, I'm ready to follow Jesus. You can't be ashamed. If you need to join this church, we're not perfect here. We're working at it. Some days we get it right, sometimes we miss it. If you need a church home, you need a place to belong, you need some people to connect to, we would hope you'd come if God's put it on your heart and step forward and just say to one of our pastors, look, I need to be here. I'm born again. I know Jesus, but I need to be here. So, Lord, today, we commit this invitation time to you, and we ask that Jesus will be honored and glorified as we all make decisions today for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand, please? We're going to sing this great song. We know it. Lord, I need you. And as we sing it, we need the Lord in our homes. We need the Lord at work and church. Let's sing together. If you need a decision, come on.